This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
My entire life growing up, I wanted to be Han Solo. I never got to be, right? Like always, every Halloween, I wanted to be Han Solo. I never got to be Han Solo, but today I get to play the part of Alan Hahn. It's Barton Hahn. I'm not Han, though. It's Barton Fitz today. Bart Scott, Jason Fitz hanging out with you on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speakers. Bart Scott, there are a few days when you are a fanatic of a sport, there are a few days on the calendar, I don't care what the sport is, that are better than draft day, because draft day is the season of hope. I say this every year with the NFL. It's the season of hope. It's the day that you're convinced your team got better. It's the day that you're convinced that your team took the next step forward. It's the day you're convinced all of your fortunes have changed. And that's why today, for NBA heads, for college basketball lovers, is a massive day, because we start with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's NBA draft day. Tonight, ESPN Radio coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. And it's a weird one, Bart, because usually we come into these situations and we're like, yep, we know who the guy's going to be. We know what everything's going to happen, how it's all going to go down. As the morning has gone on, there have been varying reports about who's going to be picked where. It feels like total chaos, my friend.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's the draft. Everybody get excited. Meh. To all the prospects. You know, so you look at that. So outside of Orlando and OKC and maybe Houston, you're like, listen, like, everybody else's fate isn't going to be changed. It's kind of, we don't expect that it's going to be that impact player. But the beauty about sports, the beauty about the game is somebody's going to be the, how the hell did you miss him? How the Kawhi Leonard did you let this dude slip to the second round? How in the Draymond Green could you not miss a guy that has this type of skill set? How did this guy slip? And that's the beauty of when you don't have a clear number one, oh, the game is open, and you're laughing at different teams' evaluations about what they think about this player versus what you think and versus fit, because at the end of the day, it's all about fit and culture. We saw that when we think about the Golden State Warriors, the culture that they bring players in like Wiggins, who maybe people thought could be a bust or maybe just an average player, didn't have greatness in him, and all did the Golden State culture kind of pull greatness out of him and teach him how to play at a championship level. So this is what this day represents. Fit, somebody's going to go to a horrible organization, and unfortunately, it's usually one of those organizations that are within the top five, and except my Pistons. Whoever goes to my Pistons is going to change it around.
Oh, okay. You know,
their life's going to be changed. Bad boys for life. But, I mean, you talk about all the players that Sacramento is always picking up top. And, you know, they're not one player away. But then now they have a team that how many guards can you get? They just gave away Halliburton or what? Halliburton. Yeah, that's right. Halliburton, yeah. Right? They just gave him away, traded him away, decided to go with De'Aaron Fox, right? And you think about all that, and they're right here at number four, and what's standing right in their face? Jaden Ivey. So even when you – like, I can't even be an NBA fan. Dude put on a hat one minute. 5 minutes later, he put on another hat. So this is going to be crazy world, because some people are going to fight, and we hear about the Knicks. We hear everybody trying to get up to number four because they feel like that's the mark of demarcation where everything goes downhill after that. Somebody's going to be right. Somebody's going to be wrong.
Yeah, we want you guys to chime in with what you want. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I know Knicks fans are fired up. They're sitting at 11. You want to trade down? You want to get somebody proven? You want to stay where you are and try and get the best player available? You want to move up? What do you want to do? We want to hear from you. And I think one of the things that we have to remember about the NBA draft versus, let's say, the NFL draft, you know, Bart, everybody always talks about when you're looking at the NFL draft, life's kind of simple. Just look at the tape, right? It's easy to say, look at the tape and just trust what you've seen on film. That's much tougher to do when you're talking about somebody like Paolo Banchero, for example, that right now, according to Woj this morning, his team boards finalized the 1-2-3 of the NBA draft, increasingly firm, those are his words, Jabari Smith to Orlando, Chet Holmgren to Oklahoma City, Banchero to Houston. And I only use Banchero as an example because I was covering college basketball this year for our digital shows, you know, on Saturdays leading up to game day. And he's somebody that coming into the year we thought was going to be this dynamic, oh my God, guy that takes over and accomplishes whatever you want. It took him a while to get going. So when you say trust the film, it's hard to do that when you have a limited amount of film and you're trying to figure out off based off of a few games who he's going to project to. I think the difficulty is that it's so much harder with so much less body of evidence to figure out who's any good.
Exactly. And then so I think, you know, me and you were joking before the show, it's about, all right, well, who does he look like? Oh, he got Dre. It's okay, Jaden Ivey. Okay, he must be Ja Morant. All right, close enough. How about maybe he's Patrick Beverley? I'm just playing. You know, when you think about it, right, I think we try and find comps and we do these guys a disservice. And we do the disservice to the guys that's already the great player, right? Because, you know, it's a lot of things that can contribute to them being a great player. And it's about mindset, right? This is why you have to do your research about the type of kid that you're getting. Because you talk about the type of basketball player that you're getting, that's hard to determine when you think about what they do and how people play. When you think about the college game versus the pro game, which is wide open, which is basically just pick and roll and guys just playing isolation basketball. You think about guys being let loose, like how do they project, you know, going forward? So, you know, this is like a shot in the dark, right? And you have to do as much research as you can, but you have to be able to try and figure out what type of kid is, what their determination factor is, how can they develop, are they coachable, are they hungry for greatness, and all those things become part of it. And the problem is if you get it wrong, you know, you end up with a guy in the G League, or you end up with Knox, or you end up with OP Toppin. Not to be picking on the Knicks, but these are people that I know. Mm-hmm. You know, you end up with a Neal Aquina, right? And it's like you're in the same place. It's like treading water, right? And it's unlike the NFL draft, you know, you are picking first. You're going to get an impact player almost guaranteed within the top 10, top 15. Somebody's that's going to be a good player. Now, I know a lot of times there are some busts. But, you know, I think that, you know, it's a lot more unknown when it comes to the NBA. Like, where's the foreign players? Are the foreign players, they take time off for COVID or something? Like, we've heard no chatter about a European player or anybody coming, you know, maybe some kids from the G League. And, like, you think about a guy like Shaedon Sharpe. Like, you have no idea what this guy is. He practices well. What the hell are you going to do? Go watch the practice film? Like, that doesn't talk about, you know, the environment. Being able to handle pressure, all the things that come with that. It's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, and I think you look at that. He's Bart Scott. I'm Jason Fitz. We're going to call me Luke Skywalker today, maybe. I'm Bart and Han.
I could be Chewbacca then.
I don't know why I went there.
Oh,
but,
that's a hell of a talent.
You know, you got to look at sometimes the way we talk about leading up to the draft. And think about the fact that the Rockets have 3 first-round draft picks, and we have no idea what that means. Like, we have no idea if that's going to make them demonstrably better, right, coming into the season. And maybe the chaos of what's happening at the top of the draft makes this exciting. In fact, that's the point that Jordan Cornette, ESPN college basketball analyst, wanted to make last night on the great ESPN radio show Spain and Fitz. Check out what he said.
I think that's what makes it so exciting is that there's not a dead set number one. And as I look at, honestly, everyone says the draft gets interesting at 4 and there's a drop off. I see Keegan Murray at the 5th spot and think these are 5 guys that can change a franchise. So I think that there's, in a lot of ways, they're alluring in different ways, but they're hybrid guys. They're versatile pieces. They're gifted, unique set of skills that can be puzzle pieces and malleable to different franchises in those first 5 that need it. Chet Holmgren's at the top of that list.
Did he just use malleable also in that? Like, I mean,
Dick Hill with the college words.
I mean, he was using all the big, like, I need a thesaurus for what he was breaking down for us.
Where'd he go, University of Phoenix?
Online. I think, you know, you got to look at some of what Jordan's saying, though. And I hear where he's coming from a basketball fan, right? Like, if you're just a fan of the sport, incredibly exciting draft. Again, you'll be able to hear it tonight on ESPN Radio. If you're a fan of any of these teams, incredibly terrifying draft in my mind, right? Because to your point, Bart, and to that point that Jordan just made, there's so many what ifs here. You know, if you're Orlando, you know you need shooting, and you know that you need somebody that can actually, like, I don't know, make a basket. So I understand why this becomes maybe an easier decision for you at the top, but man, I would be petrified as a fan to be sitting in this year's draft, because it's not a Ja versus Zion sort of conversation. Right. It's a bunch of guys that, you know, it's a Mike Could conversation.
Yeah, you think about it, like, it's like, well, what are you doing? And also, do you want to trade out a spot and try and get a proven veteran? You talk about Houston, like, would somebody want to move up and get one of Houston's draft picks to get a guy like Eric Gordon? You know what I mean? To try and help their team solidify guys that are close to the top. You know, you look at what happened already in Portland with, like, really a 2025 for Jeremy Grant? Like, he's a guy that can contribute. He's a borderline all-star. You know that the Pistons were trying to trade him last year, but he was injured. And, you know, now you look at, you know, now you're trading draft picks for proven veteran players if you have the salary cap space. The problem is nobody in the NBA has salary cap space.
Yeah, and that's a huge part of this conversation with some Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. We'll tell you later in the show why I think the Warriors' success this year actually impacts this year's draft in a very real way. But in 30 seconds, could we see the wildest reunion in all of sports? We will get to that after Bart tells you about Dollar Shave Club.
You, me, him, me, you, me, you go, I go. No, okay, let's do it. Have you ever had a shave so noticeably smooth that people want to touch it? Like when your friendly pat turns into a full-on cheek rub. Ooh. It's the kind of shave that Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor can get you. The Dollar Shave Club 6-razor blade brings noticeably smooth shaves with 6 stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. The Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor is here to get your chin noticeably and get at it at a fair price. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores.
Spartan Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and on your smart speakers. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott, Jason Fitz in for Alan Hahn today. Before we get to this very important conversation, Bart, we're buddies. Can I confess something to you?
Two tears in a bucket. Let's go, buddy.
You were just talking about Dollar Shave Club. You know,
yes.
You know why I love Dollar Shave Club? So I shave my arms. See, like, a lot of people don't realize this, but I have, like, really bright, colorful tattoos. And everybody comments on my tattoos everywhere I go. Why? Because I take the time every day. I shave my arms more than I shave my face. I got to make sure that my arms are, you know, butter. So then I can put the low on them afterwards and make sure that everything shines up right. So, like,
and with that lubricating strip, it helps you out. You know what I mean? No chafing. You
so
know
like,
what I'm saying? You're all good.
If you're sitting next to me and you feel enticed to, you know, just, like, rub the arm a little bit, it's soft and smooth. So
smooth as a baby's bottom?
Yeah, but it's smoother. I feel like I've now made all of America uncomfortable. But that's what we do. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you think that's uncomfortable, how about a reunion between Kyrie and the Lakers? How about a reunion, I should say, between Kyrie and LeBron? Because that's what we're really talking about here, right? The thought that Kyrie could end up with the Lakers and suddenly be back with LeBron is staggering to me. And look, it's part of the conversation we're all having right now, in part because of what Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, said on Get Up.
There's a very, very exclusive restaurant in Los Angeles. It's a rooftop restaurant in Brentwood, and it's at LeBron James' house. And last summer, when DeMar DeRozan and Damian Lillard and eventually Russell Westbrook met with LeBron as the Lakers were considering their big move, the move was to come and meet with LeBron at his rooftop, which sometimes makes its way onto social media. The Nets feel obviously some level of comfort about their position. There is a concern in Brooklyn that Kyrie, because he's not a conventional thinker, Kyrie could be, you know, inventive enough to leave the money on the table to go play with the Lakers and reunite with LeBron. But he would really have to rattle the saber there.
You buying it?
Hell no. Listen. This is what I don't understand. What did the Brody say up at the Hotel LeBrick James that made him to win the sweepstakes to be the one that was able to come and join, you know, the Lakers? When you look at DeMar DeRozan, he's like, yeah, how you feeling about that now, LeBrick? You should have went with your boy because I wanted to come here. And you could have probably got me for a lot cheaper, which you could have got some help. But, you know, I know Kyrie with the world is flat, but at the end of the day, money is green. You know what I'm saying? And you're looking at, you know, he's going to lose his contract with Nike. That's like $200 million. Usually people are like, players make more money with their shoe deals than they do a lot of times in their actual contracts. So he's already short there. Not saying that Uncle Drew, you know what I'm saying, could come out with a sequel. Not saying that Uncle Drew is struggling for money. But, man, to leave $20 million on the table if really that the Lakers can only really – add or can only give him about $10 million for the exemption. I don't know if Kyrie can stomach that.
they're losing $20 million. And don't tell me that Magic's going to give him one of his Starbucks or they're going to figure out a way how to give him some money. That ain't gonna fly either.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything you just said. And I think what we keep forgetting is that at some point, Kyrie does have leverage. And that's where, you know, I heard Han last week with you talking about, you know, why would the Nets pay him? Why would they give him anything? I understand that logic. But the answer to that has nothing to do with what Kyrie's done with the Nets and everything to do with will somebody else offer Kyrie a boatload of money? And the answer to that is yeah. Like, even though Kyrie is a pain in the butt, like, even though we're having all of these conversations about Kyrie, there's a real portion of Kyrie that, like, he brings value. If you're a team that needs his skill set, he's one of the best at what he does. And somebody, somewhere, like, we always talk about coaches. Why would a coach take that terrible job? Well, yeah, there's only so many of them available. It only takes one team deciding to bank on Kyrie. And I find it absolutely unimaginable to think that the entire NBA will look around and say, well, he doesn't have any value. No way. Like, he's going to have massive value to somebody.
Well, here's why I push back just a little bit. Not because what you're saying is not true, but I think it's nuanced, right? Because at what point does somebody that he will have mutual interest with, you know, so it's like, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Like, is it a team that has the money but may not be a desirable destination for Kyrie? Or is it a destination that he may like? You know, so it has to match up. And all the teams, like, he can't go back to Boston. I mean, okay, let's just say the Clippers. The Clippers may have enough assets where they can figure something out, sign and trade. I mean, they have, you know, Norman Powell. They got a lot of young players out there. You know, oh, God, I mean, Reggie Jackson in Brooklyn, I don't know his bad shot selection. But they have a deep enough roster that's right there that could be a Kyrie Irving away. When you think about him having a big three with Paul George, you know, Kawhi Leonard and himself. But I don't know if they want to stomach that. I know they have a rich owner, and we talk about, you know, the Golden State way, and the Golden State way is to pay that luxury tax and not even blink an eye. You know, will Ballmer be able to do that? We believe that he loves the game enough and his pockets are deep enough to do it, but I just don't know how that deal works out.
I think I go back to the music business sometimes, and in the music business, they always say there's three reasons you take a gig. You love the music, you love the people you're working with, or you love the money you're making. And if you're ever lucky enough to get two of the three of those at once, you never leave that gig, right? Like, if you're lucky enough to combine those things. What we don't know, to your point, is what's Kyrie really want? If he wants money, if this is all about cash and leverage to get more cash, to your point, if this is about replacing the value he's going to lose from Nike somehow or getting as much value as he can, somebody will give him value. If he wants to win a championship, yeah, totally different conversation. What indication, though, like, if he really just cared about a championship, he wouldn't be holding the Nets, you know, hostage in this situation, right? Like, he'd be coming in saying, let's work together, guys. We can make it happen. Like, he's in a situation now where he can win a championship. So to me, when I see him being, you know, pushing back to that and saying, I know my worth, what he's telling me is that I want to get paid every dollar I could possibly get paid. That's why I'm sort of eliminating all the other portions of it. Like, there is a certain spot in life. We've all been at different points where I'm sure you, for as a player, had to make decisions sometimes. And, like, if somebody comes in and offers you gross max value for what you could possibly make, maybe you don't want to live in that city, but dang, you want to get that paycheck. I feel like that's more in, like, from Kyrie's actions, that seems more indicative of where he is.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, the rubber's going to meet the road pretty soon. We'll see, like, you know, what does he have, like, a couple of days before he has
to 2 days
figure out if he's going to opt out. So I think we'll get the answer to that based on what he does. You know, it's just a lot of craziness going on. Like, we have a guy in Kyrie who chose not to play, and you have a guy, John Wall, that wants to play that they're paying, saying, hey, no, you sit here.
We
know he's going to opt in again. I wonder at what point, like, in Houston, you talk about all the pieces that they have. Well, they just said, listen, man, you're under contract. Go ahead and play, man. Like, I mean, you're going to pay a dude $80 million to sit on the bench for 2 years? I couldn't stomach that for anything. Because if you think that somebody's going to take John Wall, you're crazy. I don't know who has the worst contract. Would you rather have John Wall or Russell Westbrook? And the crazy thing is, Westbrook's been so many places that he can't go back. So you can't swap. Can you imagine swapping John Wall for the Brody back again in Houston?
I can't imagine paying somebody $80 million to sit out. By the way, he has to opt out by Wednesday. I thought it was Friday. That's my bad. Stosh, producer extraordinaire, pointed out it's by Wednesday. So We have a little under, a week for to get a final answer on it. And you're 100% right. I could never pay $80 million for somebody to do nothing. I pay $60 for somebody to cut my lawn, and I look at it four times afterwards to see if I got my money's worth. All right. Today is an important day in sports history. We will celebrate an anniversary with an expert next. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in for Hahn, sitting with Bart Scott on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. Bart Scott, Jason Fitz sitting in for Alan Hahn. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And you just heard Title IX. Title IX is an important conversation as today is the anniversary of Title IX. And there's one stat I want everybody to just hear. In 1972, there were 30,000 women participating in NCAA sports as opposed to 170,000 men. 30,000 to 170,000. If you flash forward to where we are today at this point, the number of girl athletes has increased from that number to over 150,000 in college. In fact, in high school, we've seen female athletes go from 295,000 in 1972 to more than 2.6 million today. When you think about the impact of Title IX, it's not just about equality. That's a huge portion of it. It's also about activating women and making sure that there's opportunities for young girls to have a future in sports. And it's a huge part of this conversation, Bart.
I mean, you think about it, right? We talk about, you know, Vince Lombardi's great quote about, you know, that sports is the best subject being taught in school because it's the only thing that we can't make easy. And I think, you know, being in, you talk about the social part of sports. You talk about, you know, the teacher of life that sports are, overcoming obstacles, you know, training, commitment, all the things. And women should be able to equally experience all the joys and great things that come along with being part of a team. And, you know, Title IX is important because we want them to be able to have also the same resources. And I think that's a big part of it, too, when you think about, you know, them having all the resources and us putting just as much energy and resources into their sports and what they need to be able to excel.
Well, we're going to bring some expertise into this conversation in the form of Sarah Spain, co-host of Spain and Fitz, the great radio
show
you can listen to Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Sarah, thanks for the time, as always. We were just giving some numbers on Title IX, but let's start with the very basic. For you, on an anniversary of Title IX, when I say Title IX, what does it mean to you?
Well, for the longest time, it just meant the difference between the sports world that my mom grew up in and the one that I did, where it was totally normal for girls to have all the same opportunities at every level, where women getting scholarships in college, going on potentially with the idea of playing pro, was not uncommon. And I really thought of it that way for the longest time because my mom would say, well, I played field hockey and tennis in college, but it was, you know, pre-Title IX. And so, you know, it was just kind of like a club, or it was early Title IX when they didn't really enforce it yet. And so that's how I thought of it. And now over the last couple months, as we've been doing a ton of ESPNW content on it, I really recognize it as a civil rights law that yeah. often is talked about in the sports sphere, but really afforded and continues to afford girls and women the opportunity to education in all of its aspects, the opportunity to education without harassment, resources, opportunities, law school, becoming a doctor, all of those things that were really sort of restricted to men until Title IX forced compliance and opening up those spaces to women and girls.
You know what, when you say it like that, you know, you really don't think about it. You think about just from an athletic perspective, but, you know, the ability to be able to afford school and pay for school and be able to go forward to do the things that, you know, because people forget that only about 1 or 2% of us actually make it pro, and that becomes, you know, what we make a living off of. But just the opportunity to be able to pay for education and be able right. to achieve what you want to do off the field is very important, and maybe as important.
Yeah, because if you think about it, a lot of women back in the day wouldn't have gone to college if not for the opportunities that sports afforded them. And once there, that education opened up tons of doors for them. In that documentary that just premiered on Tuesday, parts 3 and 4 will be on next Tuesday, 37 Words. One of the things that they showed was just the environment for girls and women back in the day was, well, when you go to school, you're looking for your MRS degree. You know, what you want to be in life is find a man. That's not who do you want to be? What do you want to do? Like, when you get married, what will happen? And so it gave women so much more power and control over their futures to have an education. And then the activities part of the 37 words is what allowed for protection of anything from music to sports to other opportunities that previously you could just, as a society, decide it was more important for men to pursue those things. And with no resources, no money, no funding, no opportunity, women wouldn't be given the chance to potentially pursue and become great at all those things.
We're talking to Sarah Spain, co-host of Spain and Fitz. It's Barton Hahn, although I'm Fitz. And it's very confusing, so stick with us here. But Sarah, anytime there's a significant anniversary, I think it gives you the opportunity to look back but also look forward. And so mm-hmm. when you start talking about the conversations we're having today about Title IX, what are the biggest challenges that, in your mind that we're facing in the next generation of the Title IX battle?
Well, now it's compliance. Because we've had 50 years, so the sort of excuses of we're getting it figured out don't really fly anymore. USA Today just did a many, many part investigation into this, and Women's Sports Foundation and ESPN and others have done it, but the USA Today one is extremely rich, and it's got tons of statistics that include that 87% of FBS universities do not offer sports opportunities proportionate to enrollment for women. 87%. It is sort of the norm not to be fully in compliance with Title IX. It's a really reactive law where if you don't get sued or no one complains, most of the time people still aren't super aware of the fact that they're owed equal opportunity and resources and funding and everything else. So that's going to be the next foray, is really the next 50 years, making sure that compliance actually reaches the spirit and letter of the law. A lot of people don't know this, but right now the Department of Education actually allows male practice players to count as women when they do Title IX compliance. So 1 in every 4 female college basketball player in terms of Title IX numbers is a guy who helps the team with practice. You can also multiply count someone. So if someone runs cross country and doesn't do indoor outdoor track, you can count that woman as 3 people by counting them on indoor and outdoor track, even if they don't run it, for the purposes of trying to get more women's numbers up. And right now, those are still allowed by the Department of Education because there isn't a lot of transparency. So those are the things that we need to change. Also, yesterday, I had the very great honor of being in D.C. with the First Lady and Billie Jean King and 40-plus of the 145 women that have been part of our ESPNW State Department Global Sports Mentoring. And that reminded me, as we had these women from all different countries who have come to the U.S. to be mentored by leading business people and take these ideas and funding back to their countries to start programs, that all the places in the world that don't have Title IX can still be informed and influenced by the effects it has here. We talk about that a lot when U.S. women dominate at the Olympics, right? It's like other countries have to catch up. And so Title IX has not only done this here, but it sort of becomes the model for the rest of the world to try to follow in terms of opportunity and education and meeting like all these women from around the world, where they have to force the opportunities by creating the spaces themselves, just reminds us that we kind of take it for granted here.
Yeah, it's tremendous information. I would tell everybody, especially on a day like today, it's super easy to go back to whatever your favorite school is, wherever you went, whatever school you root for, and just ask them for their Title IX information, because accountability and information is incredibly key. As Sarah and I talk about this a lot on our show, I've worked hard with some of the Big Ten schools that are trying to protect women swimming and diving. And when you find the corruption in the way the numbers are being counted, it's just inexcusable. Listen to Sarah on Spain and Fitz. Listen to us together most of the time. It's delightful. I tell you, Monday through Friday.
When you're not cheating, so, yeah. Always cheating on me.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Bart's a quality person to cheat on me with. I'm a little less mad today. You know, I'm not going to name any names of people that I've been a little bit saltier about.
Well, it's just a little speed date.
He's
know?
Not letting me be Big Spoon though, Sarah, which is a little disappointing.
But he is an habitual cheater,
I know that's a
know.
Problem for you. Yeah, you guys are going to have to figure that out.
That's probably as always. You're a rock star. Thanks for the information and congratulations on the opportunity to do something as cool, as impactful as what you got to do in DC, my friend.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. We're going to continue to have these Title IX conversations again.
They're important.
I would just implore everybody, like, just ask the questions, because the laws are in place. Like, it's time we just start holding people accountable to it. In the meantime, we have a massive, massive decision that's been made that will change the landscape of competitiveness in college football. We'll tell you all about it. But first, Bart has to tell you about Vivid Live Seats.
The 2022 baseball season is in full swing, and you can be there to watch and catch all the live action with Vivid Seats. Get out to the ballpark and experience every home run, every web gem, every walk-off. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can start earning free tickets from the very first purchase. Buy 10 tickets, and the 11th one is free. That's like getting a 10% back on every ticket. From the box seats to the bleachers, Vivid Seats has you covered with the tickets at a great price all summer long. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. That's Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, Jason Fitz. Bart, what do you say we take a phone call? You in for this? Let's go to Don in Dallas. Don wants to chime in. Don, thanks for calling the show, man. What you got?
Hey, thanks, guys. Y'all keep playing the commercial about Mark Cuban having this money, this $1 trillion industry. So why don't they just try to go get Kyrie Irving, trade Jalen Brunson, and put Kyrie with Luka, and the guy that they just got from Houston or whatever they got from.
The problem with Luka is that he's so ball dominant that he doesn't work well when he has to share the ball. Like, so can you imagine Kyrie, like, have to play off the ball, which he did with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, but would that not make – I mean, I think Don's on to something here, Park. Would that not make him better?
Who are you giving up?
Well, I mean, that we don't have to go through the whole scenario. Let me see if I can – I'm going to pull up the cap and see if I can get a sense, because, you know, there are so many different elements to trades in the NBA that I'm not sure. But
we're going to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. for the 15th time? Like, this dude's been traded to two places 5 times.
Yeah, I don't know that they can –
Nick twice, a Maverick twice.
Let me – you know what? The internet's undefeated. I'm gonna check Mavericks trade – Kyrie and just see if somebody's already built this scenario for me. That's what we're looking at here. I've seen an article here. It seems that Irving has several ties close to people within the organization. the situation unknown, but it doesn't say anything. Everybody likes these trade situations because it's a perfect idea, but this the only thing that I can see here is one website that has figured out that they think a trade could be done involving Miles Turner, PJ Tucker, Kyrie Irving. Yeah, I don't see any sort of easy way for this to be done. You're right. Bart, why do you have to be a realist here? I wanted the opportunity just to
I know we're in fantasy world and it sounds good. Like, yeah, okay, Kyrie's going to pay $10 million while the Brody makes 47. He's going to be cool with showing up knowing that he's doing more for the organization than the Brody is. But yeah, he's getting paid $37 million.
If you were in Kyrie's shoes, would you want the chip or would you want the money? Because if
he's got the chip.
Right. So,
but what he's trying to prove is what Kevin Durant's trying to prove, that he can grow something himself. And him going to play with LeBron again just illuminates the point that he can't build a team himself.
Yeah, well, and that's just this weird part of new NBA culture that I can't stand. Like, at some point to me, you got a ring. I don't really care about all of the other variables. I'm never going to buy into the conversation that KD doesn't have a real ring. That's that's just dumb. He's got a ring, Bart.
Well, LeBron did it, right? LeBron wanted to prove that he can win one without Wade, and Wade is the one who taught him how to back after this.
The college football landscape took a major, major, major turn. In the last 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
So this is breaking news.
This is breaking news. But we'll get to it in a second, Bart. You know, we're just teasing it. We're letting it percolate a little bit. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz in for Han. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys get to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mel in Jersey, you've been hanging on. We really appreciate it. Mel, what you got?
Hey, man. Everybody talking to Jalen Ivey talk. Jalen Ivey this, Jalen Ivey that. What about if Jalen Ivey turned out to Dennis Smith Jr.? You know, everybody wanted Dennis Smith Jr. and he ended up on the Knicks and not being so good. So I'm not in a rush just to send Cam Reddish and Quickly and everybody over to Sacramento to try to get Jalen Ivey.
Oh, I think that look. I appreciate the call on it, but Bart, that feels like a bit of a hot take to me. Like I don't know. To me, like
until you have one point guard, you got none. Like, and they've been making these swings. And they missed out on Haliburton when they could have got him last year and they could have solved their point guard problem. You know, if you don't have a point guard in this league, it's hard. I mean, even with Boston, we saw the lack of a true point guard really start to illuminate when they got in and they played against a team with a tremendous defense and offense pressure. You got to have a point guard. That's the first thing that you have to have in basketball nowadays is a point guard. If you don't have that, it's going to be a struggle for you to get consistent offense.
And if we're just going to pick one example of a guy that didn't pan out, then we can easily pick one example of a guy that did. And I hate these comps, but Ja's been all over the comp. Like, but a little bit of a reminder to everybody that not a lot of people were coming in leading up to the draft saying Ja better than Zion, right? Like there were a couple of our analysts, but most of them were not. So I think – you know, you got to look at all of this and say when there's nothing, you know, set in stone right now, why not at least take the chance? You mentioned that you got to have a point guard to win in the NBA. Well, you got to have a quarterback to win in college football. And we just got huge news in the quarterback landscape as Arch Manning, the highest touted recruit I can remember in my lifetime at quarterback, the guy everybody's been talking about for years at this point, Arch Manning has made a decision. He went to social media and announced his commitment to Texas. So blue chip quarterback Arch Manning he's going to head to Texas over Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Virginia. If you're Steve Sarkisian, the head coach at Texas, you're looking around at name, image, likeness, and maybe a tip of the cap and saying, hey, we put together a package that got Arch here, but man, there's going to be a ton of pressure on Texas going into the SEC to make sure that Arch Manning comes out and is good from day one.
And you're looking at it, Nick Saban's like, damn, he's looking at his boots. He's like, yo, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean Bart.
he going at Deion. Oh, I can't wait to see this next Affleck commercial.
I mean, you start thinking about
separately? Like,
think about the how contentious the SEC is anyway, right? Like, you got Jimbo's mad at Nick, and everybody's mad at everybody. You got Georgia going in and beating Alabama for a national championship. I was around a couple of Alabama players on Monday for something, and they're still salty about it the way you would expect that they'll still be salty about it. Like, there's a level of anger to all of this, and now you got Texas coming in, and Texas is going to come into this situation feeling like they are – you know, they are a golden child in the SEC, and the rest of the SEC is going to be, you know, is going to be all over it.
Can we see the SEC start to be dominated by the Texas schools because simply they have that oil money and they have more resources than the other schools just because geographically that's where all the money is?
Let's be real. I mean, Alabama can't outspend Texas. Like, they can out coach them. They can try and out recruit them. They can't outspend them. And you know, I'm trying to think of a guy that we've been this enamored with, a high school player. We've been this enamored with.
I can't
with.
Remember one.
I mean, this is a very, can we say LeBronian? I'm making up words now, Bart. Like,
I don't want to go that deep. Let's go Zion.
Oh, you're going Zion. Okay.
Yeah, let's not go with LeBrickBrick. LeBrickBrick was everywhere.
I mean, I love your cute, you know, LeBrickBrick for him, too. Like, I don't think Bronny and I are on that. Well, Big Bron and I are on that. Like, Sam, trying to make up nicknames now. They don't work as well as LeBrickBrick.
I mean, I'm a Pistons guy. So, you know what I mean? Ever since he put 25 up his own in the third quarter and really, you know, hurt the feelings of all Pistons fans, you know, it's a little brick.
Yeah, well, you do realize that the Pistons, for the most part, aren't very good, and there aren't that many Pistons fans. So
We got three titles. You know what I'm saying?
The Raiders have three titles, too. What are we talking about here? Like, we want to go back to Super Bowls in the 70s. Is that what we're doing now, Bart?
Am I really going that far back before we defeated Kobe, Shaq, the mailman, and, you know, and Gary Payton trying to swagger jack, ride the coattails of Kobe and Shaq? No, we sent their ass home. Peace. Be real.
Wow. I just had to get Bart a little fired up. That's what I'm doing. You guys can keep getting us fired up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep breaking down the Arch Manning news as we get more of it. But coming up, we'll get some expertise tonight. The NBA draft. You don't want to miss it. We will figure out who's going to go where next. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.